Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, the first mate, and Captain Patrick rounding out the crew today. Now, I was out of town last week, Patrick, but I was on a boat. I had a good time. And should I just tell you all about it? Is that what I should do, you think?
Yeah. Let's start with what kind of boat was it?
A big one.
Okay. And what kind of engines did it have?
Two.
And how fast did it go?
It cruised. It kind of trolled along. It wasn't like a super fast boat, but it was fast enough.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the definitive boating experience by one Gregory Holt.
Yeah. Good to be me. No, actually, you know, I was cruising around the island of Saba. You ever been there?
No, because you refuse, mind you, not that you offer, not that you extend yourself, you refuse to even make me aware of these trips that come up and even venture forward in, hey, Patrick, you know, you've been doing the show with me for like 10 years now, and I've never taken you on a trip. And,
right,
you know, I've managed to put away a little bit of that mermaid money since, you know, I've pretty much fired them all. Yeah. And look, all you got to do is put this costume on and you can come. And to which I would say, no, I'm not doing it. But no, I've never been to Saba. But I know you've been there like, 15 times?
Not quite 15.
14?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe. But I could tell you actually more about the boat.
Is this where they did the mud? Is it the mud run? Was that where they did the mud run thing where you guys had to do the
hash?
Yeah.
That was in Grenada.
Yeah.
But same kind of
thing. You've been all over the place, so it's kind of hard to keep track.
It is. You know, but it was a great experience as always. You know, I was on a liveaboard boat, which is a dive boat that we live on for a week.
Hence,
liveaboard. Yeah.
Cat hull or single hull?
Single hull. It actually is a converted old, I think it's like a trawler that, or not a trawler, but a crew boat that they used to run from like Morgan City, Louisiana, out to the oil rigs in the Gulf.
Okay.
That is the typical MO. Now, I could be wrong on this particular vessel.
You are.
I know that is right for a lot of them.
Did it have a stabilizer on board, or was it
Was it rocking
and rolling? Or
yes.
Okay, so no stabilizer.
Yeah, I don't think there's stabilizers. There could be, though. I mean, we have three crossings on the trip I did last week. We went from St. Martin to Saba, which is about a three-hour crossing in this boat. I think it's like 12 miles or so.
Took you 3 hours to go 12 miles?
Like I said, it's a big boat. It's about 120-footer. And, it, you know, we're probably cruising 10 knots, maybe. Does that sound right? And maybe it was more than 12. Maybe it was 22. Maybe it was 20. That sounds right. So it'd be 22. Oh, we'll go with 20.
Whatever.
Yeah. But I think we were cruising probably about 10, 12 knots.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Fairly slow.
I wasn't on the boat.
Well,
I don't know.
I mean, a boat that big.
I don't know what it even had for power other than it had two engines.
Two big diesel, you know, Caterpillar looking things.
Yeah. What color were they?
I didn't look at them that close.
Then how do you know they
went gray and old and smoky. But the thing, it's a nice boat, actually.
Okay.
It's an older boat. It was the company's 30-year anniversary, and I was invited out to join them on this little, you know,
the dive company
adventure. Yeah. And we went over there. We made the crossing, but it's a nice boat. It holds about 20 people thereabouts, and, you know, had your own stateroom, that kind of thing. And then we cruise over Saba. We dived all week. But we hung around Saba the first few days, got offshore. You know, the whole dinghy experience going between the boat and the dock and the little inflatable thing was a little bit of a challenge. We had some choppy water there, especially the first part of the week. And that made for a wet docking.
Well,
you know,
you were there to go diving anyway. You were going to get wet.
Well, not at that point. That wasn't the idea when we went to shore. We were supposed to go to shore to be dry.
But always plan on getting wet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so when you were in Sabre, were you going to new dive locations, or were you revisiting where you've dove before?
Yeah, pretty much that was the case, because I've been there so many times.
Then what's the point? Other than it was a free trip.
Well, the point is the ocean changes every day. You know, you can go there one day, it'll be like one way, and just like you're on your boat, the conditions can be great one day, they can be choppy another day, they can be...
Yeah, but you're below the water.
Well, you see different things. You know, you could be underwater and you see a hammerhead shark one time, you can see a turtle another, and whale shark or humpback whale, God knows what else, manta. You know, you never know what you might see. Big old lobsters. We saw lots of lobsters, lots of turtles, too, definitely on this trip. So it changes constantly. So it's never too, you know, you don't get bored going to the same place over and over again.
Were these wreck sites or reefs?
Most of them were reefs and walls. Because Sabre is like a sheer cliff type of thing that just juts up out of the abyss.
Kind of like the Caymans. Hey, Cayman Brac.
Well, yeah, you get the Cayman Wall, but it's different because Caymans are kind of flat. You know, sure, they have the wall diving, but once you get on land, it's kind of flat, you know, and rustic. In Sabre, literally, it just keeps going straight up a big volcanic sheer cliff. Sabre is the island they used in the original King Kong as Skull Island.
Is this one of those where you come in on the plane and it kind of drops in over the mountaintop?
Yes.
And then it's got that little short runway?
It does. It's the shortest runway in the world. That's why I always take a boat there. It actually is that's good people watching is to sit back up on top watching the from a cliff watching the airport below and watch the planes come in and take off. It's pretty a unique thing. But yeah, you have to have a special certification to fly a plane in there, and let alone live if you're one of the passengers. So I've chosen to take a boat so far, but I don't know. I'd fly into it. It's one of the most scenic runways too. So for flying, it's good stuff.
Well, but, scenic in the fact that it's about 10 feet long. So
yeah. But for boating, this is literally a sailor's. It's a sailing mecca. You know, Sabre, St. Kitts. Well, St. Martin, where we started, we ended up in St. Kitts. But St. Martin, Sabre, in particular, are real sailing meccas. Now you remember that boat, the Millennium Falcon? No, Maltese Falcon. One of the largest, most expensive sailboats in the world, the Maltese Falcon. You remember that boat? We had the coffee book on it. You remember that?
I remember you talking about it.
Yeah.
Although this wasn't the one that you swung from a line from the mast.
No,
because
no,
I believe this one, they wouldn't even let you on.
That one was in Grenada.
Yeah.
That was a pirate ship, kind of like the Black Pearl. No, this was the Maltese Falcon.
Yeah.
And
which used to be one of the largest, because I think now
it's been eclipsed now, I'm sure. But it was real high tech at the time. It had four real thin, you know, high tech sails where literally one person could run this thing with a computer.
Yeah.
And when I cruised into it a few years ago into Sabre, we came in at night and I saw these weird lights. I'm like, wow, they built a new skyscraper. And I was like, wait a minute, that skyscraper's moving. And it was the Maltese Falcon. Now, I didn't see that, but I saw a lot of other sailboats on this adventure. So they come into Sabre, they cruise around. The winds are constant, you know, the trade winds around the island and stuff. So it's really a sailor's paradise. And sometimes it looks too inviting because we saw two boats had been run aground. But they weren't sailboats. We saw one that was actually a pretty high-end yacht.
Uh-huh.
Much bigger than us. We were about a 120. I think that this thing was probably at least 200. And it had run aground the week before.
What, like on a reef? Or
It broke a mooring.
There you go.
And cruised right into the rocks there at Sabre. So the salvage company had pulled in a big, flatbed thing. And
barge.
Yeah, one of those. And they were trying to get that squared away, I guess, or take all the valuable stuff off of it.
Well, you want to lighten it as much as you can.
You think that's what they were doing, or you think they were just taking the good stuff? I think they were just taking the good stuff.
Well, no, because ultimately they got to get it off of the
rocks.
Yeah. So normally what you do, you certainly want to try to lighten it as much as you can, make any repairs if the hull was breached, that you would go in and make whatever repairs that you need to, or put in a temporary bulkhead. So
they were talking about how this worked when the thing ran aground. It was like the first salvage company that could get to it claimed it or something. Is that the law of the sea? How does that work?
Well, no. If it's been abandoned, then it goes into a different salvageable category.
Yeah.
But if it's owned and hasn't been abandoned.
Well, I would imagine it was abandoned.
Well, no. I'm talking abandoned as in, all right, it's been there for 2 weeks.
See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya.
Yeah. Then it's open up to salvage.
I wasn't one of those. This is one that just kind of broke a mooring and had some pretty expensive stuff on board, I'm guessing. All right, more coming up on The World of Boating.
You're listening to The World of Boating Radio Network.
Hey, boaters. You know, there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water. But what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info. Whether you're into diving or not, see for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with The World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Hi, guys. Y'all look great. It's so good to see y'all.
Likewise.
Welcome to Hilton Head Island. It's absolutely beautiful. It's so amazing. And so I figured, what better way to see the island than on a boat?
Yes, that's a great way to see the island, especially Hilton Head, Saba, you name it, The Bachelorette. Yeah, Patrick's favorite TV show.
Yeah.
Ever. Actually, giving props to boating. You got to love that. I'm sure when that happened on the episode last week, you were like, yeah, Rachel, you go, girl.
Is that Friends?
No, it's The Bachelorette, man. Yeah. Come on, you know. Don't lie. You were right there with her. You got a favorite pick? Which one do you think is?
Dallas Cowboys all the way this year.
Yeah.
That's my pick.
Patrick has auditioned several times for The Bachelorette. And we've yet to get a call back. What's up with that?
Well, I should probably stop auditioning for the female role.
Yeah. 2020 hindsight, now that you mention it.
Yeah. Blindfold would help.
For her?
For the producers.
Oh, okay.
I could off the voice. It's just that I can't pull off the look.
All right, if you say so.
Yeah. Hey, Greg.
Yeah.
Summertime.
Mm-hmm. It's here.
It is here. And, you know, the last segment, we're talking about your boating adventure, and you were chock full of all types of boat lingo concerning the vessel that you were on and the other sailboats that you saw and stuff like that. However, are you familiar with the GQ magazine?
I've heard of this.
Okay.
Yeah.
GQ has come out with the best and worst summer boats ranked. So the best and worst boats for summer.
Okay.
Okay.
I would think any boat for summer is a good boat.
No. How I'm going to about to school you on how wrong you are, and I have to tell you, it's really getting a little tiresome having to continue to school you on how wrong you are regarding things when it comes to boating.
Well, it is summer break, so I'm kind of checked out.
Yeah. By the way, they're on the World of Boating Facebook page, worldofboating.com. There are some. There was a video that Juan and Two put up. It was taken down in Miami. This truck is pulling a boat, and it's on fire.
Hmm.
So if you haven't seen that, I know it was making its rounds virally on the net, but if you haven't seen it, hit the World of Boating Facebook page or worldofboating.com. Check out that. There's also some bikinis on boats stuff, some other crazy type videos having to do with boats. And if you've been following, unfortunately, the incident with the U.S. destroyer, not destroyer, guided missile cruiser, and the container ship off of Japan. There's a story about that, which actually shows the IIS tracking. So if you haven't seen that, it's going to be, how do I want to say? I'm going to say illuminating, I would hope at best, as to how that incident occurred. And when all is said and done, they were very close to losing that military ship when that freighter took it. I think it's when they realized how close they came. It was an incredible effort by the crew to save their ship. Hmm. But back to GQ magazine.
Yeah.
So the best and worst. Number one. Should we start from the top or go from the bottom?
Well, work towards the best. Work towards the best boat for summer.
Okay, so we're going to start with the worst then. Worst boat, and I agree with this 100%.
Or top five.
No, this is 17
boat of summer.
The 17. This is the worst boat.
Oh,
on the
you're
list.
Going to the bottom.
Do you want me to start at the top or do you want me to start at the bottom?
I thought you said the top five.
No, I didn't say the top five.
Oh, so okay.
I said, do you want me to start with number one or do you want me to start with? You want to go from best to worst?
17.
Paddle boat. A paddle boat is arguably the worst boat that you could be on.
Depends on who's paddling.
Well, it's what's the point of getting in a boat and having to work that hard to make the thing go?
As long as you're not the one who has to do it, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
It'd be like being on a bicycle built for two. If you're going to be that person sitting behind a person in front, then yeah, I guess you could get away with not pedaling.
Right.
But when you're in a paddle boat, you're usually sitting side by side. They're going to know if you're not paddling. You know, if you're not working those pedals.
Mm-hmm.
So, too much work, especially in the midst of summer.
Yeah.
Then you get to a lifeboat. Yeah, if you're on a lifeboat, things are probably pretty bad.
Yeah.
A kayak. Now, a kayak I would disagree with because if I'm in a kayak, maybe I'm in a surf ski or
nice,
surf
cool
kayak.
Water.
Maybe I'm in a rapid, maybe like a class four or something like that, and I'm having fun. So, I would probably disagree with that. Rowboat, absolutely ridiculous to be in a rowboat. Sunfish sailboat. You familiar with the Sunfish?
Yeah, I had one when I was a kid.
Yeah, terrible, right?
No, I dug them.
Yeah, because you were a kid. You didn't know any
when
better.
I was a kid, right.
Paddleboard, certainly paddleboard. Again, too much work. I don't get it. People that would complain ad nauseum about standing in line at the grocery store, the DMV, wherever, will go and stand on a piece of foam and fiberglass.
That doesn't really count as a boat.
Four hours on it. No, actually, it does. Depending on which part of the country you're in, it could be considered now a vessel because people are going out on these things during the dusk to dawn hours, and they don't have any lighting. They don't have any navigation lights. They're not carrying any flotation gear, anything like that. And it's those things are so extravagant now, Greg. Mm-hmm. They are, for all intents and purposes, a boat.
Okay, so you're saying if I went out on a paddleboard, I'd officially then become a real boater?
No.
I didn't think so.
A ferry is number 11, a canoe, a raft, or an inflatable swan. I've never been on an inflatable swan. Here in Orlando, we've got the swan boats down in Lake Eola. Have you ever done the swan boat thing?
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, me either.
Would never admit it if I did.
Now we're getting into the better ones. So a catamaran or a large sailboat. I would agree with the catamaran. Catamarans are fun. A booze cruise, I would disagree with because, A, I don't drink, and B, it would have to be a... I don't think any time that you're actually out on something that is known as a booze cruise that good things are going to happen when you have people on a vessel like that out on the water. You know?
Wait, if you're the only sober person, trust me, you are going to have quite a show.
No, because here's what happens, though. When you let's say this is an excursion, okay? So an actual service, a charter that's running, you know, a booze cruise... You're serving alcohol. It's like doing a pub crawl, you know?
Yeah.
You're serving alcohol to people. You're out on the water. Somebody's going overboard.
If you're lucky.
No. We don't want that to happen.
Oh.
Now, number six, I don't know how this got in there, but a pool lounger comes up as...
A boat?
As number six, as to be in the water.
That explains why it's GQ magazine and not boating magazine.
Yeah, I guess.
Am I right?
We're gonna wind this up though. A cigarette boat is number five. Speed boat is number four, which I don't think they should call me because when we're talking about a speed boat and a cigarette, it's pretty much the same thing. An inner tube is number three. A wave runner is number two. When we get back, I'll give you the number one slot
for the best boat for summer.
Yes,
that's next on the World of Boating.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, rounding out the crew today. All right, so GQ Magazine has come out with the top 17 boats for summer.
And if Bill was here, he would tell you that automatically, I think 13 of those are filler.
He'd call BS, I think.
Kind of, sort of.
I think I would too, actually.
So the number one slot is taken up by something that is really... largely unattainable for most of us, and that's the mega yacht.
Well, what? I was on one last week.
No, that wasn't a mega yacht.
Well,
that was a converted
crew
personnel
boat.
Carrier. Yeah, crew
maybe.
Boat.
All
that
right.
Wasn't a mega yacht.
So what makes it a mega yacht? Over a certain footage, right?
You know, they're getting now to the point where they're basically building cruise ships. And calling
right,
them
but
mega
isn't
yachts.
There a certain threshold you have to cross over
it fluctuates
them.
Because depending on what part of the world you're in, some people consider yachts to be boats. My 23-foot boat here is considered to be a yacht.
Well, a yacht, but what makes it a mega yacht? That's my point. Isn't there? I thought there was a standard, like 100 feet or 200 feet.
Four letters.
Mega. Four letters?
Or mega. In front of yacht, that's what the
you know. There's no real official.
I don't think. I don't think like Lloyd's of London has anything that. I think it's just a term that was kind of made up to. Oh, look, Bob. Yeah, I took delivery of my new 271-foot yacht. Yeah, I took my delivery of my 395-foot mega yacht.
What makes it? What's the difference between a boat and a yacht?
About $250,000.
No, see, there has to be standards. Surely there are standards out there somewhere. Google it. It has to be a standard. You know, what is the footage, you know, where you can start calling your boat a yacht as opposed to a boat?
Anybody can call their boat a yacht.
How about a mega boat? I have a mega boat.
I thought that was
not just a boat. I have a mega boat.
Is that the next Sharknado movie?
It probably should be if it's not.
The mega boat, hell yeah.
Mm,
or hell no.
Something like that, I believe. Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to look that up ourselves. If not, we're going to make up our own standards. That's coming up next right here on the World of Boating.
listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
The cruel winds of change and radioactivity have pushed us to sea. And unlike Don, who took a while to start sucking, this group has sucked from the very start.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Counting boats is fun.
Big, tall, small ones, fast and slow ones, silhouettes in the sun. The water looks so blue, the waves come crashing through.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yes, and you should do that. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, debating whether it's 4, 3, 2, 1, or if you count them, how many feet does it is the difference between a boat and a yacht and a yacht and a mega yacht? Have we figured it out?
No.
Or are we going to just come up with
it? Because I think it's up to each individual boat owner to determine via free will how they wish to refer to their vessel.
Really?
Sure.
So you're going to, and you're not going to call them out. Being you, Captain Patrick, probably one of the most crotchety, salty characters I've ever come across in my life of boating.
Stop licking me. Stop it.
And you don't have an opinion on what makes...
I just gave you my opinion.
Well, so if someone has a 17-foot... flatbed boat, and they start calling it a yacht.
More power. I mean, you got the Redneck Yacht Club. Do you think rednecks actually own yachts? No, they're talking about probably airboats and flatboat, John boats, canoes, thing of that nature. I mean, more power to you. Look, if it makes you feel better to refer to your 15-foot dinghy or your 25-foot bow rider as a a yacht runabout or a mini yacht or whatever, go right ahead. I mean, those of us who know, I would go so far as to say the mega yacht name, if you will, description is largely pointless. I mean, it's just a way for the uber rich to separate themselves from the less uber rich.
Just the rich.
Well, I mean, the wealthy and the uber wealthy.
Well, okay.
You know, so again,
what is the figure between rich and uber rich?
About $250 million.
Okay. See, I was going to say, I thought I'd heard that the difference between a yacht and a mega yacht is the 100-foot threshold. If it's over 100 feet, then that makes it officially a mega yacht.
But what? Starting at what? At 100 feet?
Yeah. That's what I thought I'd heard before. I mean, I could be mistaken, but I thought that I'd read that or someone had said that to me, and I took it as
you took
gospel.
Yep. People come up to you and tell you stuff all the time, and you take them at their face value. I tell you stuff based on fact, and you completely disregard it.
Well, you've never called me a genius, but many other people have, and I've taken that to heart. So, you know, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see what our passengers feel about that. If you have an opinion, feel free to dial us up 888-828-BOAT, or you can email us info@worldofboating.com.
Okay, here's a, let's see, and here's another like tribal knowledge thing. Mm-hmm. That a boat, that it is termed a boat up to 40 feet, which I would disagree with, because I know people who have 32-foot boats, 35-foot boats, and they are classified as yachts. They actually have yacht certification. There you go. Okay.
Well, that's yacht. That's not mega yacht.
Wait a minute. Let's break this down.
Mm-hmm.
So if your boat is yacht certified, okay, so in place of a BIA plate, it has attained yacht certification, you by all rights and privileges bestowed upon you by the governing agency that that vessel has met all of the qualifications to be deemed and to have passed the process to be labeled as a yacht and have the yacht certification plate on it located at the helm, that therefore is a yacht.
Well, what's the difference? What do you have to have different for a yacht certification?
Well, it has to have certain things on it.
Like what? That's what I'm asking you.
A fully enclosed head, a stove, a refrigerator,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
A sink, probably two sleeping compartments. I'd have to go actually into the NMMA and...
So there is a standard...
The EUC...
Between a boat and a yacht, according to the NMMA, then.
Well, one will have a capacity plate. Okay.
Right.
So let's say my 25-foot bow rider has a capacity plate that says I can take up to 8 people or 2,500 pounds mm-hmm. on board. Now, let's say my 26-foot cabin boat, Cabin Express, has got a yacht certification plate on it. I then can refer to my 26-foot Express as a yacht because it has been denoted as such by the manufacturing industry. Okay.
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 I guess. I don't know. I think there's still more to it than that, though.
I know you don't like me banging on the console.
But you just told me
stuff based in fact, and I'm giving you actual fact. It's not hearsay. This is actually how the boating industry does it.
Okay.
And you're discounting it.
Well,
and saying,
no, I'm just saying.
No, what you're telling me, I understand that's what boat manufacturers do, but I don't believe it.
Well, I'm not clear if you're saying that there's a standard for the industry or just standard for the manufacturer.
There is a standard for boat manufacturers.
Okay. All right. So that now we're clear then. I thought you were just saying if they say, hey, it has this, this, and this, that makes it a yacht.
It has to meet certain certifications, has to have certain equipment on board to have a yacht certification plate. Okay.
There's no requirement of, like, you have to talk like this, lovey, and you have to have some boat fluff on there with you as well.
No, there is no boat fluff certification process.
But you don't have to talk like that? Like, you know, thirsty?
No, you're more than welcome to. And we will just sit back and mock you.
Well, okay.
You're probably one of those guys who wear those black knee-high socks.
All right, but am I right about the 100-foot for the mega yacht? I think I'm right about that, aren't I? If there's that, then there must be a mega yacht, you know, footage minimum that kind of puts it into the category.
Okay. So we've got super yacht, mega yacht, giga yacht.
Well, giga would be 1,000. Okay. Right?
So, let's say a super yacht is up to 80 feet to 100 feet.
Okay. Let's go with that.
So, that's a super yacht.
A super yacht. Super.
A mega yacht would be 100 to 200 feet.
Okay. Are you reading that or are you just agreeing with me?
Maybe. A giga yacht would be 200 to 300 feet.
Okay.
Now, I disagree with that because, again, the stuff that you find on the internet is absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I thought giga was 1,000. Isn't that giga?
Not according to what I'm reading. Because, again, Roman Abramovich's mega yacht, the Eclipse, is like 383 feet or something like that.
Right. So he's bigger than a giga.
So, again, I think based on how your boat has been certified by the manufacturer denotes how you refer to it. And if some manufacturer, as a feel-good measure, has put a manufacturer's plate that says that this is a mega yacht, you know, or a super yacht, or mm-hmm. a giga yacht,
yeah.
then you are entitled, I guess, to refer to your vessel as such. Just as your 26-foot Express, if it has a yacht certification plate on it, you can refer to your 26-foot boat, which a lot of people don't think is that big, but it's actually kind of deceiving how big a 26-foot boat actually can be. You can refer to it as, this is my 26-foot yacht. Well, Patrick, you're crazy. That's not a yacht. Well, let me go on board and show you the plate where my vessel has met all the requirements and certifications, and it has been classified, categorized as a yacht.
Okay, but I think...
Would you come on, man?
No, there should be more specifics, more standards. I'd like that job. I would like to be the guy who in the industry says, okay, I will dub that a mega yacht. This is not, or here's, you know, the thing. I mean, all those parameters you put sounds good, but wouldn't you like to be that guy? Because it sounds too
arbitrary.
No, because
you know how, I'll I'll see if I can bring you in the book one day, or I'll take a picture of it at work.
I don't want to read.
I'll take a picture of it at work, and I will show you the stacks of books that product had, all the certifications, all the requirements that it needs to meet to not only just get its boat capacity certification, but then for yacht certification. It is, we have two people dedicated, non-stop, 5 days a week, going, pouring through these books for all the new product, especially this past year because we unveiled six new boats, that this has all got to meet these certain regulations, requirements, to be categorized as a certain type of boat. And it's incredible the amount of paperwork.
A certain type of boat or a boat or a yacht?
Yes.
Uh-huh. I knew it. He's a liar. He's making up things. You know, everything on the internet you read, Patrick, isn't necessarily true.
It says here you're a certified scuba dive master.
Well, okay, there's an exception.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department, led by his ex-girlfriend, and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Who's your buddy? Is he your pal? Well, I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain how we use the buddy system in diving next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
For many, scuba diving is a social sport, but that's only one reason we use the buddy system. Ideally, dive buddies are evenly matched in skill level and can assist each other if necessary. They're not a crutch to lean on, but a backup system that, if used properly, can make your dive safer and more enjoyable. And if you're diving right, your buddy will likely end up being your pal, too. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I am the captain of this party.
I'm Captain Jack. I'm captain of the ship.
Ah!
I'm also captain of anyone who sets foot on the ship. Hi, welcome aboard.
In an office, when you are ranking people, manager is higher than captain. On a boat, who knows? It's nebulous.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, a co-pilot. Or not Just Plain. This is World of Boating. That's what it was. Just Plain Radio is our other radio show.
Mark that.
That we produce about airplanes.
I could see.
I just lost my place. That's all.
I could see how you could get them confused.
Well, my mega yacht is so big, sometimes it crosses over.
I think you're getting mega yacht and ego confused.
No. That's what I call it. The mega yacht. Anyway, so moving on.
Yeah.
This is the World of Boating.
Yeah, yes, it is.
And we are your crew.
Dateline, what? Australia.
Good night, mate. Welcome aboard to the world of boating.
Now,
yeah,
we all know in this internet age with venues such as radio and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, some radio shows and stuff, they're all about the clicks, Greg. Go and get the clicks, you know, and that creates ad revenue or however that stuff works.
Yeah.
We're really not about that.
We don't play with that.
We're really not about that. So we put this stuff out there really for the sole enjoyment.
Pretty much.
of our listeners. So if you have not already liked World of Boating Facebook page, please do so. If you haven't checked out the worldofboating.com website, definitely do so. This week, there is actual video that was taken from closed circuit television down at a boatyard in Australia.
Oh, in Australia. Okay, go continue. Yeah.
So this guy is watching the CCTV video feed. His 18-foot boat, which has got a small cuddy cabin in it. And two thieves, a man and a woman, broke into it, and you know the deck hatch, you know the square deck hatches that are that are there. You've got on this video, and I'll show it to you during the break. I probably should have done it at this break, but you were too busy getting the shows mixed up.
Yeah,
you can see plain as day. They break into this boat and they are going at it, if you know what I mean.
No, really?
Oh, really? There are positions that were attained that you can see in this through this deck hatch. It is a fairly unobstructed view, and well, you got to love the internet because wow.
Well, was it worth watching? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it is worth watching.
You were impressed.
I was impressed. I was impressed because, again, an 18-foot boat, that's going to be a fairly small cuddy cabin.
Yeah.
And
well, it's not the size of the boat. It's the...
Yeah, the size of the rope. They had to contort themselves, and they did quite... vigorously.
What do you mean? To get through the opening?
No. While they were in the cuddy cabin, there 15, 16 positions that were achieved. I'd say skill level master on this one. Oh, yeah. 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 It was quite impressive. It should be breaking into somebody's boat to do that.
Hey, it's not the size of the boat. It's the motion of the ocean, something like that.
But, something like that.
I've heard that somewhere.
And the owner of the boat now feels that he's going to have to throw out the boat mattress because he thinks it's been defiled.
Soiled.
Which he's probably correct.
I would think so, especially if it's on video. Yeah. Hey, I want to buy... Oh, no, and I don't want to buy that
it's
one.
It's funny because they get the CCT coverage, you know, and they're what they can do with video nowadays. And, I mean, they zoom... Right.
Well, of course they did.
Right. I mean, I'm looking at it right now, man. I mean, it is...
Focus, Patrick. Focus.
I am. Jeez. So, wow.
So this is an instructional video.
She must have been a gymnast, is all I can say. Or practices yoga.
Okay.
So, on the World of Boating Facebook page, I don't think you're going to find that in too many other...
mainstream boating...
Yeah, I think it probably slipped through, but... Our crack news team is on the constant prowl, if you will, for the news stories such as that.
Well, and by the way, it's like, not lick.
Yes. Now, having said that, let's see. This may be a place that you are familiar with. I'm trying to find out exactly where this... I think it's in the island. Trinidad and Tobago.
Yeah, been there.
Are you familiar with Trinidad and Tobago, Greg?
I am. I've been through Trinidad's airport.
Are you familiar with an area called Flat Rock?
No.
Okay. Apparently, Flat Rock is a place where people will go and bathe in the sea.
In what?
The sea. The ocean.
Oh, okay.
Except there is an inordinate amount of feces and fish waste.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's not stopping them. They figure if it's good enough for the critters in the sea, it's good enough for us. So you know, if you have a bucket list of places that you want to go check out.
Or lack of a bucket.
Yeah, this may be the S bucket list.
Yeah.
Is what I'm thinking.
Mm. Wow. Well, that's a bunch of crap. I don't even know what to say after that, other than, gosh, I'm glad the show's over.
Yeah.
Way to bring it down the crapper there at the end there, Patrick.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. All right. Enough nonsense. For at least this week. We'll be back with more next week. Till then, remember, whether it's sail or motor,
life is better as a boater.
Safe boating, everyone.
Barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.